This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Testy. It's episode 147. If you're listening on drop day, it's November 6th. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Remember, before we get going, subscribe, rate 5 stars wherever you're listening. Go to YouTube on the WEI channel. Here with Sammy and Pat, but also joined by a very special guest. We are super excited to be joined by former All-Star, Rolaids Relief Man of the Year Award winner, and 2004 World Series champion closer, Keith Folk. Keith, how are you doing?
This guy's in the house. I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on, man. Big NFL Sunday. We're all Pats fans, so screw us. But
they made it a game, right? They made it a game. They tried.
We had
fun. That's the standard. We went from ring or bust to just keep it close and give us an interesting fourth quarter. That's where we're at this point.
Man,
and give us a good quarterback.
Sure, give a good effort.
Yeah, that's how it is nowadays. Oh, I talk myself into being happy with like 95% of these games and just like, okay, well, Drake May look good. Some cohesion going on. That's good. Step in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you can watch a game for a couple hours and it comes down to, you know, to the last, you know, the end of the game, it's, you know, what are you going to, what else do you want to ask for right now? The glory days are, they're behind us.
Yeah, I feel like we have to suffer. It's like doing our, right. It's like doing the dirty work of being an NFL fan. You have to suffer for a little bit. And we had it so good for 20 plus years. And now this is just us like doing time. We're doing time right now as NFL fans.
That's very true. Very true.
How do you do your NFL Sundays?
Well, today I was driving most of it, so I just listened to it on the radio or watch it on the iPad. But most of the time, you know, it's sitting in front of the TV, iPad, you know, watching a couple different games, you know, just relaxing.
Yeah, I love NFL Sundays. All I do, I like roll a second TV in the room. I put the Pats on the big screen. The smaller screen gets red zone, and I just like eat nachos and I'm a blob.
Eat and drink all day.
Hell yeah! But we gotta get into it here because you don't get to talk to a World Series champ every day. Certainly not an 0-4 champ. And you had a hell of an interesting journey to get to that point. But I gotta ask you, when the Red Sox called you in 0-4 or before 0-4. What was their pitch to you? Like, obviously, nice 3-year deal, and Boston's a great place. But how did they get you on board?
Well, you know, the money never hurts. I'll be honest with you. You know, I really, you know, honestly, I wanted to stay in Oakland. Their hometown discount was, you know, it was too big of a discount. But there was part of me that really wanted to play for a big market team. I had lost in the playoffs a couple times and I really wanted a shot at the championship, you know, so I come out and I visit Theo and I meet all the guys and, you know, we go to a Celtics game, sit on the floor, all that fun stuff. But, you know, the closing deal was the Red Sox had Bobby Orr call me, left me a good little message. And he, you know, he told me about, very honest, and he's, you know, if you win, right, You know, there's nothing better than winning in Boston. And I just remember telling me, you know, ex-wife now, but I remember telling her, hey, you know, pack your shit. We're going to Boston.
Was that true? Did that end up being true?
Oh, that's 100% true.
I'm saying like nothing like winning in Boston.
Oh yeah. I mean, obviously here we are 20 years later, still talking. If we don't win in 04, you sure as heck ain't calling me right now. I can guarantee you that. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's, you know, I played for 11 years, whatever it was, but you're only remembered for one. And I'm honored. I'm proud of that. You know, it was, you know, obviously it was a hard, you know, the Red Sox nation suffered obviously much longer than I did. But, you know, we worked hard for that. You know, we went about it kind of in the wrong way, but in the end, we got it done, and I'm extremely proud to be part of that team.
So you mentioned that you met Theo during this kind of sales pitch of sorts. In the comeback, this new Netflix documentary, they show Theo the year he was hired as the GM, and he looks like he is 14 years old. What did you
think?
When
this guy came out? He was only 28 when they hired him. Right? So
I couldn't
ask. That's not much of an exaggeration.
So, what did you think when you saw a kid coming up to you, being like, "Listen, man, I want to offer you this, this, and that. Come play for the Red Sox." Were you kind of like, "Who is this guy?"
Not really, because you know, I didn't have a relationship with my Giants GM, but I was around Billy Bean a lot in 03 when I was in Oakland. The energy. Like seeing the passion where, you know, you actually know that there is part of the front office that does care, you know, what we do on the field. They're not collecting a gate. They're not worried about beer sales. They really do want to win on the field. You know, and I love Billy, but when I met Theo, I had that same energy. You know, you look in his eye and obviously a highly intelligent man, but he conveyed that willingness to win. You know, obviously the Red Sox got a big checkbook, so it's like, you know, it's like, we're bringing in Curt Schilling, we're, you know, we want to get you in here. Obviously I played against the 03 guys, most of that team stayed for 04, so you know, I knew what those guys were about. They were there to win, you know, they weren't collecting paychecks, and you know, it just kind of all went into one big ball, and I'm like, you know what, I'm on board, let's do this.
So we saw it in 04, we saw it in 4 days in October. We saw it in the comeback. This team had so many characters from just all across the clubhouse. What was the day-to-day life in the bullpen like? How much fun was it with that group of guys day-to-day?
We had a great time. You know, the one thing that I always like to remind people is you look at the roster, that 04 team, we had a lot of great players. Obviously, we have a couple Hall of Famers. We have a couple guys that could be Hall of Famers if, you know, if things were different. But we had, you know, in the bullpen, you know, we got Alan Embry, got pitched for like 35 years. Mike Timlin pitched forever. You know, he had World Series rings. He closed out World Series games. We had Mike Myers. We had, you know, had Lesky out there. Like, I was 31, and I was one of the younger guys in that team. So the sense of panic wasn't there as if you were on a younger team. I mean, we had guys that have literally been around the block. You know, they've been through the grind. They've won. They've lost. You know, and that's one of the things is, you know, we backed ourselves into a corner a couple times that year, but we never panicked, you know. And same thing in the playoffs. You know, we kind of dug a big asshole, but we never panicked. You know, it's like, you know what? Go out and play good ball. Win one game. Let's see what happens.
So piggybacking off of the question about being with the guys in the bullpen, one of the big defining moments of that 04 season was the Varitek A-Rod fight. For you and your perspective of that, you're running in from the bullpen. What's it like being part of one of those incidents from the bullpen?
Well, I was still in the clubhouse. Remember, I was closing, so we didn't go out that early. But I think Embry, Timlin, and I were all still in the clubhouse because I think it was pretty early in the game. But so we came running down from the clubhouse. But, you know, people always want to say, and, you know, I can't really say if that was the spark that kind of got us going again. But, you know, there's nothing like a good fight to kind of bring the camaraderie back. And, you know, baseball fights really aren't that fun because there's, you know, you got to talk about 50 guys out there and it's pretty nasty. But, you know, it's a bonding moment, right? You know, it just goes to show that, you know, it was good to see that your captain is willing to, you know, literally fight for you. you know, so that's just great motivation for all of us.
So it seems like a pretty jarring experience, I guess you could put it, to be in a baseball fight. It's basically a brawl with the amount of people who are out there. And that one was pretty heated compared to ones that we've seen in the past. The next day, the next time, because I don't remember if you guys played the very next day, but the next time you guys all got to the ballpark, was the vibe different in any way?
You know, I think so. I don't really, I mean, hell, it's been 20 years, but I mean, you know, one thing I enjoyed about Boston is every time you got to the ballpark, it was always fun, you know, win or lose. And I think after, you know, after we had that big dust up, you know, you get in there and it's like everybody kind of walks in, kind of like, you know, big smiles, like, all right, boys, you know, it's like I said, if you're willing to fight for one another, you know, what else is it? You know, it's a brotherhood, you know, and when you know you got, you know, 25, 30 guys behind you and they're going to back every play, you know, it's very, you know, it's a confidence builder. It's very reassuring.
So in the comeback doc, Tito, I think it was literally like four or five times, said, if you put me in my underwear and I have a lip in, I'm at home. That was just such, like, the way guys talk about him, how he's a true player manager. He was playing the big leagues. He coached in the big leagues. What is your favorite Tito story from any year you were in Boston?
Well, I mean, I played in Boston for 3 years, but I mean, to be honest, we only really played one. So, I guess the one thing that really, well, pops out to me is, first of all, great manager, good man, got to know his family very well, great family. But I remember after game seven of the Yankee series in the playoffs, I wanted in that game so bad because, you know, I feel like I earned it. I worked hard that series, and I'd never been the guy. You know, I'd never been that guy that ended it out, you know, is on the mound and all that. So as soon as I ran in, I found them. I kind of grabbed them like, Tito, motherfucker, that should have been me, you know. And he just looked at me dead in the eyes. He goes, kid, you'll get your chance. You know, and, you know, a week later he was right. But, yeah, that was one of those things. I got after him and he kind of snapped back. And that's kind of guy he was. Like, he was very, like, you would never – there's never anything you could do or say that would get him off track. He was quick-witted and – you know, he's funny and, you know, he was definitely the best manager I've ever had.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You know, people don't talk about it enough, but if David Ortiz doesn't have like multiple walk-offs and turns into like Superman in that series, the MVP of that series is probably Keith Foulke.
Yeah, we should have done that, right? Then I could have went back-to-back. Of course, I got screwed out of the next one too, but anyways.
Yeah. So what's it like for you coming back to Boston? I mean, it's been 20 years, but especially for us, because like 04, I'm 27 years old. That watching you guys in that year is, it's basically like my first baseball memory was probably the Aaron Boone walk-off the year before. The first season that I actually remember was you guys in 04, and having that be the first season that I got to really experience it, it just defines your life almost, because like watching the Red Sox and talking about the Red Sox, it's what I do. It's what we do. It's just what comes naturally to us. And so much of that is because of what you guys did in 04. So even though it's been 20 years, what you guys did was just so defining for so many people. What's it like for you coming back even 20 years later?
It's gratifying, you know, it's, you know, it kind of goes back to the whole thing of, you know, what Bobby told me. It's like, literally it was a dream. It was a fairy tale. You know, when you win in Boston, you know, I still come back 20 years later. I still get to do plenty of appearances with the team. I can walk down the street. People recognize me. People still share their stories of, you know, them and their families and all that stuff. And now that my kids are older, when I take them back, you know, it's a proud moment for dad because they get to understand that, you know, I'm not just dad. Like I really was a pretty good ball player at some point. Right. And, you know, Boston, New England is such a great sports community. Doesn't matter what sport you play. It's they remember, you know, and, you know, like I said, it's just there's no greater feeling than being remembered 20 years later after doing anything.
Have you had any crazy Boston fan interactions? Because I have to imagine the way we are. We're
really?
Not. Give me the
real question.
The weirdest one you can share. Give me the weirdest one that you're comfortable sharing.
Oh man, it kind of put me on the spot a little bit. I didn't prepare for this one, but you know what? I don't know if I have one. Like literally, there's thousands. You know, over the last 20 years, like I'll run into people. It doesn't matter if it's in Arizona or California. You know, I spent time in Wyoming, which is shockingly a huge Red Sox, you know, big hub up there. But I don't know if I have one that stands out. It's just the fact that there's part of it. You know, I love hearing the stories about, you know, fortunately, you know, a lot of the family members are, you know, passed before or after we did it. But I love talking to fans about how multiple generations shared that moment with the entire family. You know, it still moves me to this day. And, you know, those are still the stories I love. And I stop and I talk. People want to tell me a story. I try to give them, you know, all the time they need, but, you know, I still love hearing the stories about just Red Sox Nation, multi-generation, how that team, you know, made lives complete. You know, it's an honor.
Mm-hmm. So I'll speak for myself about this. Growing up, right outside of Boston is where I grew up, and my dad, my uncles, grandpa, everybody, my mom, everyone, all they said was Red Sox never win, the Yankees always win. They're never going to beat the Yankees. Get over it. Stop getting upset when it happens. Did that message get passed along to you? Like, obviously you know about the rivalry, but the gravity of it. Did they make that clear? The fans, the team, everyone? Was that abundantly clear to you when you got to Boston?
Oh, absolutely. It was very clear to me before I even got to Boston. You know, I played on the White Sox for 6 years coming to Boston, and every day there would be 2, 3, 4, 5 Yankee sucks chants. Like, you don't play unless you're just an absolute dum-dum. You don't come to Boston and not understand the passion. You know, back in the day, you'd walk around during summertime, everybody had on Red Sox stuff. It could be people in suits going to work, Red Sox hats. The women, the kids, everybody had Red Sox stuff. During the summer, it was the only thing. So before I signed with the Red Sox, I knew exactly what we were doing. And that was part of it is I was willing and wanting to be part of the solution.
So Bobby Orr called and told you about it. You were pitched on it by the front office. If you win. When you finally win and you're there for the parade, how surreal is whole day for you?
that parade was still by far the most overwhelming, you know, day of my life, you know. Excuse me. There's a lot of different things. Excuse me. A lot of different things going on in the personal life. I remember getting to that parade and, you know, that day, and it was just like, it was a rainy, crappy, you know, fall day. And I was just kind of blue. Right. But as soon as we left the field and those boats and you go out there and you start to see a couple people here and there, and before you know it, you're just in the absolute masses of New England fans. You know, I can't even say New Englanders, just Boston Red Sox fans. And you get out there on the streets and it was just like a sea of people. You know, it looks like something you'd see in a movie. It was just so many people and the passion and, you know, and people trying to tell you quick stories along the way. But it was just that parade was, I wish there was a way to kind of just have everybody experience that. It was just absolutely just heartwarming and mind-blowing.
How do you think your life would have been different if 2004 never happened. If the Red Sox lose game four, Yankees sweep them, nobody in Boston remembers it, how would your life have been different?
Man, that's I don't know. You know, and to be honest with you, I mean, people have asked that before, but I kind of really just kind of blew it off real quick. Like, I don't know. Guess it's not something we're going to have to worry about, you know?
Guess we'll never know.
Never know. Ask the Yankees. Yeah, playing golf, I think.
That's such a weird hypothetical to think about, because like for Sox fans too, it's like, for whatever reason, 04 is obviously everyone who saw 04. 04 is everyone's favorite. And then everyone loves 13 because it was with the Boston Marathon bombing and the beards, and it just it had everything. And then 18 was like record-wise the best Red Sox team that we've seen. And 07 just kind of gets forgotten. But if you guys hadn't come back in 04, like 07 becomes the 04 team. Like, that's so weird to think about.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, I guess I was biased. You know, I played with a lot of those guys in the 07 team, and I mean, they weren't the same cast of characters that we had in 04. You know, so I don't know. If we wouldn't have won, man, I don't know. Well, I know one thing is we wouldn't be sitting right here right now.
It's true.
That's what it's all about. It's all about getting onto the Play Tessie podcast. That's why we do it.
Yeah, exactly.
147th in the line. I'm proud of that.
Oh, yeah. We saved the big 147 for you.
Right?
So you mentioned the Yankees. When they were down 3-0, they win a game. I'm personally freaking out because I don't want this to happen. Did you think there was any chance that that group was going to pull off what only you guys in 04 were able to do?
Yeah. I mean, you look at their team. I mean, they're a team of future Hall of Famers. I mean, they had everything they needed. And it was funny to watch it because it happened so quick, just like us. We got our backed into a corner so quick. But all of a sudden, they go out and win game four. You know, it's like, all right. So you don't have to win seven right now. All you got to do is, you know, win the next one. And, you know, they came out and they started to look good. And all of a sudden, it just, you know, wheels on the bus don't go round anymore. But, you know, they definitely had the team. And, you know, I could see. Because I remember sitting at a bar and somebody said, oh, nobody's ever come back from that. And I'm like, excuse me, technically, yes.
I literally have.
And they kept talking about on the broadcast, it's never been done, never been done, which in a World Series, obviously not. But they had what they needed. They just, they fell apart and they can never recover.
That's the thing. It's like, yes, if they had done it in the World Series, people would talk about how it's the only time that it's ever been done in the World Series. But it literally is impossible to replicate how meaningful the 04 comeback was. And that's what I think the Doc did such a good job of, was setting the stage, because so much of it was about what happened in 03 and what happened for 86 years before that and what happened during the season with you guys just constantly chasing the Yankees. It's something that with Yankees Dodgers, even if it's in the World Series, I just feel like it can't be replicated.
Yeah, it wouldn't have had the same weight. People would have still talked about it, but you know, it was always the Red Sox. You know, it's always Red Sox. You know, like little brother chasing big brother. You know, it was, they always got the best of us, and you know, it was, you know, like you said, it was, you know, 85, 86 years of heartache, that build up. You know, if the Yankees come back and win, it's like, oh great, you know, so you won for the first time in 15 or 16 years, whatever it was. But you know, they could never be the 04 Sox.
So I've got, this is the last one for me, but this is something that I've always wondered, and you're the perfect guy to ask. So I always thought it was so funny as a little kid when Edgar Renteria was the final out and then he joined the team the next year. What was that like? Did you ever talk to him or did you, did anyone like, was that not weird?
You know, people, you know, the press kind of talked about it a little bit, like, oh my gosh, how ironic. It's like, who cares? You know, he would just happen to be the guy at the plate. You know, it doesn't matter who it was. I like to think that whoever it was gonna get out. So, you know, just, you know, he stood there and watched while we got our ring. So I'm sure he understood it.
It's true. The ring ceremony. Hell yeah.
So, oh yeah, it's true. We had to watch the ring ceremony. I didn't even think of that.
That's funny as hell.
All right.
I just think every October when he sees my highlight, he gets to see himself. Like, look, kids, that's me on the horseshit ground up. But that's
Well, actually, that's what I want to ask. Our final question, we'll get you back to Sunday Night Football. Appreciate you taking the time. When that play is developing, you throw the pitch, the ball's chopped back to you. What was that like? Was that a slow motion moment, or did it just happen?
Far from it. I mean, it was as far from slow motion as it could have been. You know, like, I like to tell you or tell people, like, because usually that pitcher, when you release the pitch, I know pretty quickly if it's a good pitch or not. It was a horrible pitch. It was just a lazy fastball up and away. And, you know, in a split second, I almost kind of started to relax because there's no chance he was going to swing at it. And all of a sudden he just kind of waves at it. And it's like, you know, and as soon as I see the ball hit the bat, it's like everything went into light speed, you know, like I'm jumping and the ball's not that high. And I snow cone it because I'm like, you know, not to say I panicked, but shit was moving pretty fast. And once I took off to first and I was going to toss it, and all of a sudden I had that one thought in my head, right? And I'm like, nah, let's just take another step. We'll double pump this, just get one step closer. And I just remember when it left my hands, I just turned around to Jason. It was like, you know, the entire universe fell off my shoulders. It was just such a relief is not even close to being a good term for it. It literally felt like the weight of the world just dropped off my shoulders.
Oh man, I got chills thinking about it.
This might be the first time I ever told that story and not kind of get a little sentimental, a little weepy. So
yeah. Hey, I don't blame you, man. My palms are sweating thinking about it. I would have thrown that into like the 18th row.
that's an iconic moment.
That was my one thought. I literally thought, hey, don't screw this up.
That'd be the most brutal screw up. Be like, it's over. All you got to do is lob it over to first base.
Ooh. Yeah, just like all the previous years, I went down and yeah.
Hey, well, we appreciate you not screwing that one up. That was big for us.
big shout out. Big shout out for that. Yeah, they'll be playing that highlight long after all of us are gone. That must be pretty cool to have in your back pocket. Like, yeah, that's going to be there forever. And for the rest of my life, I've got that. And long after.
Yeah. Every you know, every October they always play the highlights, and you know, it's a beautiful, it's a beautiful trip down memory lane, you know? And like I said, I'm extremely proud of that ball club, and I'm extremely honored to be a part of it.
Well, we appreciate you coming on here so much. And man, it's so cool for us to talk about. Cause again, like those were like the defining moments in not obviously for your guys' life, but like for us too, like we're just kids learning to love the game. And for you guys to do that right away, it's like our parents tell us that they never win. And you know, my dad in his 40s and he's never seen them win. He tells me, don't get your hopes up ever, no matter what. And you know, for you guys to do that, it's just something that we'll remember forever. And man, thank you so much for jumping on here. Yeah. That is Keith Foulk, Red Sox legend, forever a legend, closes out the 04 World Series, and he's closing out the Play Tessie podcast for episode 147. We really appreciate it, Keith. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything, and that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports.
With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.